Amen. Peace of Christ be with you. One quick notice. This Friday night, men's and women's co-ed night out. It's a group night out. So if you don't got anything going on Friday night, what else are you doing? Come on out to the men's and women's night out. You can sign up online. Nick, this is just for you because you might need a date. I didn't even get a sympathy laugh for that. Come on. All right, so you can sign up online. This week we are launching a Life After College series, and this is under the leadership of Dr. Jonathan Haygood along with Student Development and Campus Ministries, doing a six-week exploration of life after college. What does it look like when you graduate from these hallowed halls? How do you live? So if anyone's interested in engaging that conversation, pay attention to some opportunities that are going to be happening. The first session is today from 3 to 5 this afternoon. And to help us along in this week, we've invited an emerging friend of Hope College, Gordon Bell, who is from Fort Wayne, Indiana. He is an entrepreneur, a businessman, an author, an executive coach, but a deep lover of Jesus and of people. This is his first chapel, and would you please warmly welcome Gordon Bell.
Well, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be part of your day. It's the day the Lord has made. You gonna put the first slide up, please? It says, discover your next best step. A lot of people in life will say, what's your next step? I got to get to class. I got to decide whether I'm going to go to college or not, or which college. I want you to understand three words. Next best step. God will help you discover your next best step. And best is in red. Why do you think that is? Blood of Christ. And the word best, because sometimes you're not talking to a believer, or you might be talking to a seeker, or you might be talking to somebody that's hurting where they don't want to hear the God thing. You say, best is another word for blessings. So what is your next blessing? Will it be to go to that fun thing Friday night to see how God shows up? Will it be to do something other than study to see what God's going to do? Trigvi and I have become friends in the last few months, and he asked me if I would talk about my vocation and my calling. And when I was a young guy, I said, man, I want to be this, this, or that. I want to be a track coach and a math teacher. I went to Carl Sandburg High School in Orland Park, Illinois, for any of you who are from the Chicagoland area. The lady I eventually met went to Chicago Christian, and later on in her life, she became head phys ed coach. Way back in the 60s, back during the Vietnam period. So that's where we come from. We've got to still have a six-digit in front of our, we're pushing 70 and having more fun doing what we're doing with you today than I did when I ran big corporations or did big transactions. What was my vocation? I thought it was business. I thought it was being a dad. I thought it was being a grandpa and all that. My vocation is to be a follower of Christ in all I do, a follower of Christ in all what you do. So here I'm 18 years old, not going to church. I'd gone to church when I was a little boy. My dad instilled Christ in me, but there was nothing after that. So my mom and I were working at a restaurant in the south side of Chicago, and they said they hired this new gal, college gal from Trinity Christian College. I said, I'm coming in tonight to find out who she is. I was one of those busboys, you know, kind of checking things out. And so we ended up going on a date after about 6-7 weeks because she did have a lot of Dutchmen that she was dating. I'm Scotch-Irish. I found a way. I won't tell you about the Irish. Second date. We did have a first one. We went and saw Simon and Garfunkel live, Sounds of Silence. Okay? Second date was, I said, what are you doing, babe, on Sunday. She said, why do you ask? I said, let's go out. She said, meet me at 9 o'clock. I said, man, that's kind of late. And I'm a heathen. I want to go out and have some fun. Let's go dance. Let's go shoot pool, whatever. She said, no. Meet me at the house. My mom and dad will drive us to Hope Reformed Church in Chicago. And you can come to church with me. And my mom will cook a meal. What you don't know is I didn't have any money. I was a steel worker. I was a busboy, whatever it took to save money because I wanted to go to college. Christ worked through a lady that I've been with for 50 years. I ended up with Vern Hoffman being my pastor mentor, who ended up here doing many great things. I received Christ when I was about 21, made profession of faith in front of the elders of the church. Shaking in my boots. I was not a citizen of the United States, and Pat said, you know, it wouldn't be bad if you took that green card and turned it in for a citizen. And I worked and worked and worked, and she worked with me when we got married my junior year, and we graduated with no debt. We had a catering company on campus, we had a meat cutting business. We did what it took to have financial security. And graduated from Purdue University, then went and worked for the United States Army in research and development for Vietnam. God worked through all of that. We had no money provided. We found out that we could not have children. Wonderful elders in our churches found wonderful families that had daughters, they got pregnant, brought them to us because they wanted to have a Christian education and a Christian lifestyle. We've got 9 granddaughters now. No, excuse me, 8 granddaughters and 1 Dublin James, little boy. We've been blessed. So at age 18, that's where you are sort of now, 18, 19, 20. I've just given you 50 years of my personal life. Next slide. Because you have little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, it was Pat, it was Christ working through my wife that gave me that mustard seed. And God made it grow, and we challenged, and we went through mountains and valleys. Okay, fast forward about 20 years. I became a CEO of 5 major corporations in my lifetime. And then one day, it was done. All taken away at age 43. What was God doing? I hadn't done anything wrong. We nearly lost it all. The journey began for me to understand true submission to the ultimate call of God. For the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I felt that I was harmed. Plans to give you hope in the future. That following Sunday, Dr. Wes Garrick from the Missionary Church gave a sermon on Nehemiah. The same sermon concept was given at the chapel when Trump and Pence were brought into their office. Learn the stories of Nehemiah rebuilding. So what does it put the boots on up top there? Here we are, 43, and I'm laying in bed with Pat, and I had just lost it all. I mean, lost a lot. We had all the toys. She looks at me, and she says, well, you got 2 choices. Stay in bed, put your boots on. Bam, I got up. I married up. I didn't marry down. I tell you, guys, marry up. The Dutch are a little rough on the Scotsman, let me tell you. By the way, that Jeremiah 29:11 is the 2nd most popular verse last year in America. First one is John 3:16. Next slide. Okay, we did the 18-ish. We did the 40-ish. And you think everything's going to clear sailing now, right? Wrong. We had something called recession in America. Nobody wanted to do business with me. I was going through issues of life, dark issues of life, which I won't go into here. And I said, I need help. So another good pastor friend of mine said, go get some help from Dr. Dan Bowen. And he gave me some advice. And he said, you're not depressed. It's not your business. At age 60, Bell, you don't trust God. I got so mad at him. I said, now, wait a minute. I received Christ. I did this. I did. Guess what? There's going to be times in your life, maybe right now, maybe tomorrow, maybe tonight, say, what you doing to me? You will be tested in the valley. And I've had a chance to talk to hundreds of teenagers and all this, and I say, that's where leadership, servant leadership, is developed. He taught me, he said, Gord, I want you to learn how to say three words. What's your next best step? So when I look at this young lady and I'm talking to her about something, what's my next best step? What that is how to pray 24/7. God, what's my next best step when I leave here? What's my next best step before I take my test? What's my next best step when I look for a mate? You want the best because it's God wants the best for you. Remember what best stands for? Stands for? And it's the blood of? And how do you learn about the blood of Christ? Through prayer, scripture. But right now, I all want you to look at one another. Just look at somebody. Just look. You're going to learn about Christ through that person you're looking at. Because you know why? The person you're looking at is the most beautiful, absolute most beautiful person in the world. Oh, I love all the love, all the hugging. Oh, I need 5 more minutes. And why are you the most beautiful person in the world? Because there's a piece of Christ buried within you. That was taught to me by a Christian Reformed pastor, Reverend Holkabor, in 1972 when I made hospital visits as an elder. He said, you're going to walk in that hospital room, and it's going to be pretty ugly sometimes. He said, but look for the beauty, because it can be pretty ugly. And so every time I look at somebody, I don't care what they look like. I don't care what the plumbing is. I don't care what the color is. I've been done business in 54 countries of the world. Everybody in this world is beautiful. Okay? So if you go with that attitude and you understand prayer, and on those tough days that I'm going to be facing giants, I pray more. I get up earlier. Next slide. Over the course of my lifetime, I have taken every sermon I've ever had, made notes on it. And the summation of that is a mission statement that I try to teach my management teams, my children, my friends. I, meaning you, am a servant leader with a loving heart while creating a culture to inspire others to strive for excellence in Christ. I will focus on building trust in my commitment to God's wisdom, to vision in my life while pursuing gifts and passions, which basically all ties to the Great Commission. And Isaiah, which I took from the old Chariots of Fire, you will be tested. So, going on 69 next month, what have I learned? At 69, there's a new fire burning in here, the fire that you learn about when you study Exodus. Relationships, not cell phones, are the most important thing. Looking at that beautiful person, hugging them, crying with them, doing what you can do to help them. Love God, love others. If you can learn only 2 commandments, learn those 2. And to carry those out, if you learn the Great Commission, you pretty much got the package. All the rest is supportive of those items. I've learned about unconditional love, not only from Christ, but from a woman. I've learned how to pray 24/7, and I know now I don't have to have it figured out. I'm one of those anal type A. I have all the lists, still have the lists. But it's more important about being instead of doing. And when Pat and I walked the lake shore, we've been coming up here for 50 years in Holland and Saugatuck. In our dark days and our great days, our hope is renewed and our joy is overflowing. My challenge to you is to pursue, not just do it, pursue God's vision for your life. If you take one thing away today, I want you to pursue God like a vengeance. And he will tell you what you need to do for your next best step. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. You can do that right here. You don't have to go across the pond, although I've gone across the pond. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Thank you.